have just a few questions that we have in order for that. And I always appreciate men that are willing to do what these men are about to do. Because it's one thing to present a lesson to where you're pretty sure that nobody's going to interrupt you. That nobody is going to... I did not give these men the questions beforehand, but I had my lesson and my notes already prepared. So I appreciate men who are willing to take questions on the spur of the moment. But I know these men. These are all seasoned, veteran gospel preachers. Trust every one of them. I am appreciative of this. And so, man, the development of our sons for manhood. And I have several questions here. Denny, I'm just going to start with you. See, you're down on my right. And take about 2 minutes, maybe. If you need a little bit more, that's fine. But take about 2 minutes. And I want to be able to deal with preparing our sons in the early stages of their life for male spiritual leadership when they're young. What does the Bible say in regards to preparing young men for that? And you might want to even deal with, from our perspective as a question, what if there is no father in the home? Then how is that taking place? And when Denny is done, if you gentlemen would like to take a minute or two to follow up, then we'll do that. Denny? And please step to the mic so that we can catch everything on. We want to hold your words against you.
You know, one of the greatest blessings in life is being a father. I'll tell you, it is a great blessing that God has given us as men. In fact, Psalm 127 makes it very clear that children are a heritage from the Lord. It is a great blessing to have children. Blessed is the man who has a quiver full of them. That is a wonderful thing. But it starts with that first verse. Unless the Lord builds a house, he who is laboring in vain. There are so many things we could talk about bringing up our children. Certainly, Proverbs 22 and verse 6 says, we train up a child in the way of teaching them, and he's under the life of comfort. But I would say that if I'm going to talk about this passage, we have to be on Ephesians 6, 1 through 4, where there are instructions both to the children and to the parents. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. But then he goes on to talk about the fathers in verse 4. And if fathers, and I provoke your children to act and bring them up in the nurture of training and admonition of the Lord. So when we understand that our children are a blessing from God, and as we say, I am very blessed to have three wonderful children that mean the world to me. My son has married and has three daughters of his own. That is such a blessing that I can't even describe. But with that understanding of what I've been given, I also need to understand the responsibility that I have. I have a job to do. Not to train him how to be a football player. He was, and he coaches football today. At Chris Academy, and he's a college coach there. And one of my biggest worries is that football will be under my eyes. Because we train our children to play God first, not football. I don't care if this is Texas, I don't care if you're on the doorstep of the enemy. We have to put God first. What are we going to train them in? Get them an education so they can get a good job? No, by the way, Christians should be a great student. The Christians should be the best employee they can possibly be. But that's not the number one goal. Number one is bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I need to teach them the Bible. Not just worldly principles, I need to teach them godly principles. They need to see as rich, and they need to see me as a leader in the home. They need to see me working and serving in the church. Not just showing up on Sunday, but knocking doors and going and visiting the sick and helping those who are in need. And one of the greatest So Satan there uses the woman as a go-between to adopt the leadership of the home, and she actually convinces her husband, who apparently received revelation from God that he was not supposed to do what he was about to do, and that was to eat the fruit, and therefore she successfully destroyed his position. How? Through the influence that she gave to Satan. And of course, we know how that ended up. We know that Adam was held responsible in the of the Father's for the family. But we also know in 1 Timothy chapter 2 that there was a reason why God created the male first. And he gives that as a reason for why the male has been given the leadership role. There is something in that that we've overlooked. Adam was first born, then Eve. There's something in the fact that God chose to create the male first. And which is why Satan attacked his position first. And of course, he could have come out of it by blaming the woman that God created him. If you look at the system of the body as well, there's a reason why the Bible refers to God as the Father, Jesus as the Son, and of course, you have the Holy Spirit, and the church as the bride. But the power is seen in God preparing his Son to come and to be the leader that he wants. And it's given God the life of Christ and the strength and the power and the determination, the effulgence, the Bible says, that he wanted the Father. That's what the true Son does. He upholds his Father's teaching to the world. And he must be strong. And he must be capable. And he must be worthy. And here's in chapter 5, he is the only worthy one in all of creation to open the book.
Chapter 5, and this is a reference to the elders and the black
chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And verse number 6, this is one of the famous verses I'm sharing with the congregation on Wednesday. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, and verse number 6, Moses writes, "In these words which I commanded thee, this day shall be in my heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and there shall be a fetlock between thy eyes," which means that all day, every day, there should be biblical, scriptural discussion about commandments of God. And that's one of the things that's lacking. The youth minister is not responsible for the growth and education of your child. The parents are the ones who are supposed to be teaching their children at home. What takes place in worship and what takes place in Bible class is only a supplement to what should already be happening at home. So older brothers, we have to be preparing intentionally our young people for these positions in the church. Leaders. so that's the best way to develop this, this kind of study of the Word of God. That's what I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm going to be a little bit of a challenge.